Father, give us revelation. Open our hearts and our minds to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Church, say amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and read a couple of verses while you're yet standing. Honor to our ministry, Pastor Kyle, his wife, Pastor Sapp, all of you in your respectable places. You know, my dad used to say that, respectable places. I really never understood the respectable part. Respectable places. Maybe somebody can explain that to me, what exactly respectable places mean. But I just said because he said it all the time. You know what I mean? Luke, you ever heard your daddy saying something? Then you don't really know why, they're just tradition. Yeah. And I caught you. Okay. Let's read three verses, then you'll be able to be seated. You may be seated. The first one is going to be John 8 and 32. Perfect. And you shall know the truth. Excuse me. And the truth shall make you free. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and 36. If, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, John 8 and 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Last verse, Isaiah 61 and 1. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord, thank you, Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to announce or to declare or to proclaim liberty, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Let me read the latter part of that verse again. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Please clap your hands as you're being seated. Thank you so much for being in attendance of our morning Sunday school. We do believe in teaching and trying to understand God's word clearly. We're going to talk about this morning, freedom, free at last. I kind of like that title, free at last. Sister Don, that's what we're going to call this. As we read in the previous scriptures, our text says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right off the cuff, I want to just make this clear that there is no freedom outside of truth. There's no freedom. There's no wonder we preach, try to teach, try to understand. The Bible says, buy it and sell it not, because truth is very tied. I call them, you know, I was thinking last night, and I was thinking of being like Siamese twins, you know, being joined at the hip or at the waist. Truth and freedom, they are inseparable. Without freedom or without truth, a person can never be free. And it is the other way around. If a person is free, they must have truth. You can't separate the two. That's why we really push and sing about it and preach about it and teach about it and sing, whatever the case may be, pray about it. We must have truth. And in order to have freedom, truth must come first. It's a prerequisite. It says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, then you shall be truly free. So we understand that the truth brings us freedom, and this truth comes from the Son, from God himself. And that's why he says that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. Truth, life, freedom, they're interchangeable. You can't have one without having the other. Freedom, or to be free, is the state of being free. Exemption from the power and control of another is liberty, i.e. independence. One who enjoys liberty, or who is not subject to the will of another. One who is not a slave or a vassal. To be truly free is the state of being free. Exemption from the power and control of another It's liberty. It's independence. It's one who enjoys liberty or who is not subject to the will of another. The Bible says that in to go into Isaiah 61 and 1 a little bit more, he says to proclaim liberty to the captives in the opening, to proclaim liberty to the captives in the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to such who were captives to sin and Satan in the law, as it were prisoners to them, shut up by them and in them and held fast there. Somebody say, but Christ. But Christ, as he is the author of liberty, obtains it for his people and makes them free with it. The only way he could offer something is that he has to really ascertain it, or he has to have it himself. So he was able to free us because he himself is the author of liberty. He's the author of freedom. And it goes on to say, so he proclaims it in the gospel, a liberty. Now, what are we free from? Because this freedom does not come through your social status. This freedom does not come through your ethnicity or your background or matter of where you live or your job or your family or your pedigree, whatever the case may be. This freedom that we're discussing and talking about is the freedom that God offers. And this freedom can only be accessed, can only be tapped into by being connected with the author of liberty. Religion cannot free us. Abraham Lincoln, I understand he had a lot to do with the slaves being free, but I probably want to beg to differ because he maybe was instrumental, but a man can never really set another man free. He may can drop chains from his wrist or from his ankles, but in order to give someone something or to give someone freedom, they would have to have been bound first. In the original state of a man, at least when he got them from wherever they was, we can talk about that, they was not bound, it was free. So he kind of reestablished their position before they was brought here on boats and ships and all these things. But the point I'm making is that Jesus came to reestablish us. He came to reconcile us back to our original state. That's why Paul said, I pray ye in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled back to God. The original state of the man, speaking of Adam especially, was free. He was not born a slave. He was not born mentally, emotionally, spiritually chained down, you understand. Adam was born free altogether. Matter of fact, he was probably the only man, I would say, that actually knew or was actually born in his state other than Jesus Christ himself. David said it best. He said, I was born in sin. In iniquity did my father or did my mother conceive me. We were all born slaves to sin, slaves to Satan, slaves to the power of this world. We was not born free. Amen. I know we think because of some of our backgrounds, and as the Pharisees said, we were never bound. We were never, but we actually all were. We were all slaves. We were all chained down to the lies of this world, to Satan. That's why Jesus said, I have come that ye may be free. I've come to loose you from your shackles, from your chains, from your bondage. That's why Paul said in Galatians, he said, we have not received the spirit of fear again to bondage. In other words, we're not coming. Paul said, why are you being entangled again to slavery, to being slave to the law and to sin? He said, Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus did not come in a warrior stance. He did not come with swords and with armor on. So the freedom that Jesus offers us is freedom through knowledge. That's why freedom, that's why truth is absolutely connected to freedom. Religion cannot offer this. Coming to church in and of itself cannot offer freedom. You know, wearing all the right clothes and saying all the right things and being a part of the right organization does not free us. The only thing that offers us true freedom is being connected to the author of freedom, whom is Jesus. A liberty. So what are we free from? When we speak of this freedom, when we sing of this freedom, we are free from sin, from the damning and governing power of it. Freedom from the curse and condemnation of the law. A deliverance from Satan as of a prey from the mighty. Picture this if you can. A bald eagle coming down to snatch a worm because, you know, they have no chance, or a fish, or even a snake. I've reasoned that some eagles can snatch up to 40 to 80 pounds there at one time. So imagine this bald eagle coming down to, you know, snatch a worm or a snake or a fish or whatever the case may be. Excuse me. And when he goes to snatch it up, someone immediately snatches the worm away and makes it where the eagle cannot get it. That's the word picture, if I can present to you. Jesus literally snatched us away from the predator, from our adversary, whom we had no chance of defeating outside of him. That's what it means when it said he come as of a prey from the mighty, or as of prisoners from the prison house. We were facing a life sentence of death. We were all on death row. Our sentence was to die and spend eternity lost from God. That was all of our sentence. I know some of us have nice backgrounds. Some of us were raised in very nice homes. Some of us come from prestige families, and whatever the case may be. But however prestige your family, your background, your pedigree, your ethnicity was, we was born and shaped into sin. And David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. Our sentence was death and hell. We had no chance of making it. We couldn't fight our way through it. We couldn't pay our way through it. We were bound. We were absolutely sentenced. You got to picture this now. This man is on death row, and the only one that can veto it is the governor. They have vetoing powers, and in some cases, the president will utilize his veto power, but very, very rare. So picture, everyone in here, we sit in this chair, and we are about to go to persecution, or we're about to be, you know, executed, whatever style we use now, whether it's by lethal injection or send this some chair. And we are seconds away from having our life snatched out of our bodies. I mean, just literally seconds. They have already pronounced the last prayer, and we have said our very last words. And right before the man pours it, or right before the medical professional inserts that poison into your vein, someone says, stop. Comes right in the middle. And could you imagine how you would feel if someone you are facing, I'm talking about imminent death, there is no chance of you making it, and someone comes right at the nick of time and stop and intercept you from getting what you by right deserve, because we deserve it, guys. I know, but we deserve death, hell, and the grave. But Jesus said, I will not give you what you deserve, because I've come that you may be free. I've come that you not just have life, but have life more abundantly, because you have to see it that way. We deserve it, guys. Some of us think maybe we don't deserve it. Maybe I was born different. I never really stole, robbed, or killed, Brother Power. Maybe you're referring to yourself, or Brother Power, because I've never really did all these things. However good you think you was, we were still deserving of death and hell. The proclamation of liberty in the year of Jubilee. Christ did not liberate us only. He did not only liberate us or set us free, but he also empowered us to be free. One of the mistakes I was reading in history, one of the mistakes they made when they freed the slaves, if you don't mind me using this context, hope no one is offended by this, but one of the mistakes, catastrophically speaking, they made was they didn't educate them when they released them. They just kind of one day out of the blue sky, more or less, I know they have been talking about it, but more or less what they did was they just kind of said, you're free to go. Now, you have to understand, a lot of these people were born in slavery. All they knew was slavery. All they could comprehend and understand was working, getting them. They had no sense of responsibility as it relates to going out getting their own real estate. You know, going out, provide for themselves. They knew how to work and they knew how to get up and lay down. But it's a totally different thing when you're not in bondage no more. They had no idea of it. So therefore, people was robbing, they was stealing, and they was thinking, see, it was a mistake to let these people go. We should have kept them in slavery for much longer because now we have no peace, and there was violence, and there was all these things going on, and it wasn't because they shouldn't be freed. It was because if you free a man, you have to now teach him how to live free. You just can't free a man after being sentenced. Matter of fact, in the prison system, they have this thing called the reentry program. I worked in the reentry dorm for about a year. And the reentry program is that after an inmate has been in prison for a certain period of time, 3, 5, 10 years, they have this dorm. And the sole purpose of the dorm and the office of the dorm is to reacclimate that person to society. They have what you call halfway houses. Because once a person has been institutionalized, they call it, once a person has been in bondage, has not had freedom for a certain period of time, they forget how to operate out even in their freedom. They don't know how to operate even being free. Okay, I'm free now. What do I do with my freedom? What do I do? Do I go and repeat the same thing? How do I live in freedom? How do I walk? How do I treat my neighbor? How? Tell me, I'm free. You have dropped the chains. But Jesus said it like this. He said, I didn't only come to preach liberty, but I also came to loose the prisoners. One speak of spiritual and physical captivity. He said, I'm coming to give you freedom, but I'm also going to empower you through truth on now how to live free. Sometimes we have to understand on now, how do I utilize my new freedom? Because I'm used to being bound for so many years. I've been living as a slave for so many years. All I know is how to lie, how to cheat, how to manipulate, how to use my own ingenuitiness to gain control of other people. I know how to do these things naturally because I've been a slave to sin all my life. So now you have set me free. I've been born again. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Tell me, how do I live now that I am free? Tell me how to live in freedom. Because to be free is not enough. It's not enough just to be free. If you don't give me the knowledge on how to live in freedom. This is what Jesus said in here. Listen, he said in 61, he said, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That means he's come to preach freedom. But he goes on. He says, in the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That speaks of not just being a free man, but now being a free man with knowledge on how to live free. If not, we just fall off the cliff. That's what we are, sheep, you know. The Bible says, like sheep, we've all gone astray. We are considered sheep, you understand that. But can anyone tell me of any professional football team that their mascot is a sheep? Basketball team, college team. I looked it up. No one has mascot for a sheep. You got eagles, you got lions, you got the bears, you got all these big, strong animals. But God don't, that's not our characteristic. Our characteristic, scripturally speaking, is sheep. Why sheep? Because sheep is the dumbest animal in the forest. Excuse me for saying. If you let a sheep will wander right up to a lion, one after another, and get his head bit off. A sheep will literally walk right off a cliff if you let them. They're the only one after another. Sheep were designed to have a shepherd. If there is no shepherd, the sheep will be scattered, the Bible says. So we are considered sheep. We were made to have a shepherd. We were made to be taught. We were made to be taught. So if you have sheep out in the pasture and you just loose the sheep and say, sheep, I'm setting you free, sheep, you are doing them a great disservice. Because after a period of time, even though you're freeing them, they're not going to know how to live in freedom. So not just freedom, but freedom with knowledge. This is what we have. God said, I'm not just coming to set you free, but I come to empower you to be free. Galatians 5:1 says it like this. Stand fast, therefore, in your freedom or in your liberty. wherewith or with which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Some of the slaves, even after being free, because they was not taught on how to be free, they went back to their masters. They said, man, life seems so much better. Does that sound familiar? That's what the Egyptians said. The Egyptians said, man, we were better off when Pharaoh had us in slavery, when we were in captivity. Why? Because they was not being taught, or they was not utilizing the teachings on how to live free. So therefore, the first time Aaron went off to pray and to seek God, they said, we don't like being free. We're not, this freedom thing is not always made out to be. So they wanted to be in bondage again, even after being set free. Why? Because they had no knowledge with freedom. If we're going to be free, we have to have knowledge with freedom. If not, we're going to abuse our very freedom that God gave to us. Romans 6:22 says like this. He said, but now, see, listen, but now. In other words, forget all that other stuff. He said, but now being made free from sin and become the servants to God. You get that? It's a from and to thing. First we have to come from something, then we'll go to something. We can't go to something without coming from something first. That's why he said it in one scripture. He said, I have delivered you from the kingdom of Satan and have translated you to the kingdom of his dearly beloved son. First thing is he brings us out of bondage and captivity. Then he brings us into with the knowledge on how not to abuse our freedom. So many Christians get free, and so many times we abuse our freedom. We think that Paul said, don't think your freedom is a right to sin. Don't think that you're free now to live how you want to live. Because we're not taught, you understand, because we were born slaves, we have to be educated on how to live free. We were born with a slave mentality. We were born used to being in captivity. We were born with somebody ruling over us, abusing us, manipulating us, whatever the case may be. So now we have to be taught on how to live and walk as a free man. We're all free men. Next verse says in Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, again, you became the servants of righteousness. After you are made free from sin, now I'm made a servant. You see that, the change in the word there? Listen to this. Slave to sin, servant to righteousness. Slave to sin, servant to righteousness. We're not slaves to righteousness. We're not being force-fed this thing. We are choosing this by our own free will to be a servant of Christ. We're not being forced to come here. We're not being forced to dress and to talk and to walk this way. Because we are delivered from being slaves of sin, now we can be servants of righteousness. The Bible says the servant will abide in the house always. He says in Galatians 5:13, for brothers, you see that? How the term keep maturing from slaves to servants, now brothers. Now we are inheritance. Now we have a right. He says, you have been called to liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use your freedom as an occasion to the flesh. You ever seen some people, and help me here, after they get saved, sometimes you still don't want to be around them? Still have the personality of maybe being mean or being grumpy, or my wife called me sarcastic. You ever been around people like that? Because now that we are free, we can't use our freedom as a license. We can't use our freedom as an opportunity now to be arrogant, to be, manipulative, to be. He said, no, you're misunderstanding why I set you free. I didn't set you free to become mean and grumpy and sour-faced and, you know, to be, you know, looked down on others. He said, no. You're misunderstanding why I freed you. He said, don't use your freedom to serve sin. For in the case of the flesh, but by love, here you go, serve one another. 1 Peter 2 and 16, he says, as free. He's kind of driving this point home, isn't he? As free and not using your liberty, here you go again, for a cloak of maliciousness. You got to get this. I wish I had more time. I would tell you about how the time when they released the slaves. Brother Spears, there was so much violence, Brother Morgan. There was so much violence among the slaves when it was first released. They probably did more to harm themselves than their person that had them in captivity. They did more to hurt them own. They was robbing each other and stealing from one another and, you know, just because they was not taught. That's why the prison system has the reentry program. It has to be because a person don't know how to live free. You, when you become born again, you don't know how to live free. No way you can know how to live free because you have been in slavery your entire life and your mama was in slavery. Your mama was in slavery. As far as you can think, all of your ancestors was in slavery. You have no idea how to live free. Don't come with no presupposed thoughts of thinking you know how to live free. You don't have no idea. I don't have no idea. That's why he gave us 31,270 verses to show us how to live free. How do I walk in this new life? I don't know. Somebody help me. Show me. Teach me how to live free. But as a service of God, freedom, somebody said, they desire to be free with another kind of freedom than that which is free. And it's really not free, it's lawlessness. The opposite of freedom is lawlessness. God is free. The truth. Freedom on any other term is not free. It is lawlessness. I had my sayings mixed up there. When you seek freedom outside of God, you really seek a more complete slavery. Any other freedom outside of truth is really a higher form of slavery. There is no freedom outside of truth. You can have whatever kind of job, educational background you want, and I know this sounds kind of a certain way, but everybody you know in your life, no matter how nice they seem, if they do not have truth, they are slaves. So you have to look at it that way. So they are not, yes, lawfully, they are responsible for their actions, Keisha. But spiritually, they are being controlled by their slave master. John 8 and 44 says like this. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. In the lust of your father, you will do. He said he was a liar from the beginning. So he's a liar now. Because they have no control. They're like puppets. They're like puppets being controlled by their slave master. And he is a cruel slave master. That's why Paul was emphasized upon. Peter emphasized upon. He said, no. You need to, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You have been set free. Don't be like the Egyptians and say we were better off being slaves. We were better off being force-fed. Because they were so used to the whip on their back, being beat up day and night, they become thinking that was a way of life. Being beat and driven to work and being beat and driven to get up and being beat and being driven, we call it institutionalized. That's all they knew. But now God come to love on them. It feels uncomfortable for someone just to love on them. It feels uncomfortable people coming to church sometime and we have no motive. Just say, brother, I love you in Jesus. What do you mean? No, I just genuinely, brother, I just love you. I just want to be, but what's your agenda? What's your motive? Brother, I just want to love you because they're not used to this freedom. This is a new thing for people because everything they know consists of slavery. Every idea they know consists of slavery. So they have to get used to this new way of living. They don't understand why we dance so wildly and jump around. Because when you are free, listen, don't clap. You really can't help yourself. You really can't contain because you're free now. That's all we know to do. It's really not a ritual. When a person has been bound their entire life, they cannot keep quiet. They cannot sit down. They cannot keep holding back. They are free. And when you understand your freedom, there is no way you can. It's kind of just bubbling in me right now. I'm trying to teach like my mentor, Pastor Sapp, is teaching me. I'm telling you guys, this is freedom. Freedom. 1 Corinthians 7 and 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, that term servant really means slave, is the Lord's, what the F word say, church? Free man. I like doing a word study sometime on words. He is the study. Is a servant, is the Lord's free man. Now, where in the world is free man? What in the world is free man? Free man, the term occurs in 1 Corinthians 7:22. It occurs in Colossians 3:11 and Revelation 6:15. It represents two slightly different words. In 1 Corinthians 7:22, the word is apolytharos. The word literally means a free man. One, listen to this. One who was born a slave and has received freedom. So a free man is somebody that was born a slave. I mean literally, physically, was born a slave. And through either by buying it or by serving it, they have bought their freedom. So they're called a free man now because they was born in slavery. That's an official term. That means a person that was born being the property of someone else through money or through some other matter away, they have worked their way to become a free man. That's their social status until they die. Free man. We are all here today. We are all considered free man. The term that we have spiritually is free man, because we were born in slavery. We were born the property of Satan. We were born under the ownership, the tutelage of Satan himself. Through the Adamic fall, we are the property of his. You understand? I want to make this real clear, because sometimes we see people and we think that, well, because they are morally good people, that exempts them from this truth. Absolutely not. No matter what their social status is. And this freedom cannot be ascertained through money. It cannot be ascertained through your social status. We were all born in slavery. He said, to the one you obey, that's the one you're subject to. Freeman is our term. On your spiritual birth certificate, Freeman is under your name. But through the blood of Jesus, through his blood, Acts 8, he has purchased us, because the only way to get a slave is you got to purchase them. You can't just go and see. It can be your mama or your daddy on the auction block. You can't just go and grab his hand and say, he belongs to me. No, that's not the way slavery is. You can be blood connected to a person that's being sold and say, that's my brother, I should better go grab his hand. Absolutely not. You have to purchase a slave. And slaves come at high price, y'all. Slaves are not cheap to have. Even then, slaves are not cheap. Even now, slaves are not cheap to have. When I say slaves, I'm speaking of now in the spiritual context. So how did Jesus purchase us? How? How was he able? Did he bring a lot of gold? Did he make a negotiate? Did he negotiate with Satan for our freedom? Did he say, maybe I can give you something? How was he able to purchase us? His blood. You were bought with blood. You understand why you are so special to him? You understand your significance? You understand why he values you so much? You understand why the Bible says the whole host of angels rejoiced? I think for one second, everything stops. Oh, everything in heaven comes to a complete standstill. Everything. Angels stop singing. They stop doing whatever they're doing. I see somebody stepping into my blood. He said, I see somebody tapping into my blood. That's why the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission. There could be no remitting. There could be no forgiveness. Because the price for our life was blood. All through Old Testament, the Mosaic Law produced a temporary purchase. They were purchased temporarily with blood. But it wasn't good enough. I wish I had time to tell you what they had to go through for a lamb with no spot, no blemish, nothing. It's hard to find sheep like that. It had to be absolutely perfect animal to be acceptable. And even with that, it wasn't good enough. He said, I need perfection. I need absolution. So he said, can't find nobody. I've tried animals. I have dead birds. All kinds of men that have lived a life for me. So I guess it's a job. If you want to do it right, I think he invented that. You might as well do it yourself. So he said, let me go down here and buy back. Let me go back and redeem them into their original state. Let me go back them and reconcile them back to me. Paul said, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may through him become the righteousness of God. It's only because he decided to purchase us. We was on the auction block. The auction man was saying, go on for $5, go on for $10, go on for $20. However they did it. I know I'm not saying this in a disrespecting way. I really don't mean it that way. But just for a word picture. We was all lined up on the auction block, one after another. Satan was the auctioneer. He was auctioning us off to the highest bidder. Maybe your bid was fornication. Maybe your bid was adultery. Maybe your bid was thievery. Maybe your bid was pornography. Maybe your was lying. But we all had slave masters, and they was toting us tight, making us lie and steal and cheat, be promiscuous. And Jesus said, no, you don't deserve him. You don't deserve him. And Satan turned around. Mr. Fornication turned around. Whatever the work of the flesh was that had you in captivity, turned around and said, who are you to? This is my slave. He belongs to me rightfully. And he was right. But God said, let me supersede that. I'm going to give you my blood. I'm a purchase. That's why when he died on the cross, it's the only event that had past, present, and future bearing. He went back in history and got all those that died before he died and brought them to the present and then went to the future for us. That's what he did. He literally went to the past and reversed every curse. The Bible said he went to hell to preach proclamation. Came back and said, now, that was for the future, the past. Now, presently, I'm redeeming y'all that are here. Futuristically, now I'm redeeming everyone that will come after this. Because of our slave master was cruel, and the only price he would accept for me, for you, was blood. With his own blood, he purchased the church. And you think you have no value? You have let this world tell you because of your failings or because of your education or because you're not a lawyer or a doctor. God bless you if you are. Please, I don't mean it that way. Or maybe you live in some area that's not looked upon very, you know. Or maybe you just barely got here this morning. Your car maybe, yeah. Maybe you don't got 20 suits in your closet. Maybe you didn't come from an apostolic background. Maybe you're the first one in your entire family to walk in this word, in this truth. Maybe everybody around you is looking down at you. Maybe you are a janitor somewhere. Maybe you are a lawyer somewhere. Whatever your case, don't let this world tell you you have no value. Your value does not come from this world. You have out of this world value. You were purchased with blood. He said, I've purchased you that you may be truly free. And we are free. We are free indeed. Indeed, we are free. So don't be told how loud you can scream. Don't let no one extinguish your jumping and your skipping and your shouting. It's only because you understand the price that was paid for you. When we understand the price that was paid for us, forget the praise team for a minute. Forget the music for a minute. I understand the price that was paid for me. I don't need to be pumped. You have to tell me to sit down. Calm down. Not so loud. What is wrong with you? Stop running. Stop jumping. Stop skipping. Stop dancing so much. Stop. You don't have to do all that. It's not necessary. You don't understand what was paid for me. I was blood bought. I was blood bought. Ha, C.T. Abaha. I was blood bought. He came and put his stamp with blood. Sold by blood. Blood bought, yeah. Blood bought. I feel like running right now. I feel like skipping and rolling all over this place. Blood bought. Please stand to your feet. Blood bought. Father, bless your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for purchasing us with your own blood that we could be truly free. Ha. In the name of Jesus, let us walk in our freedom. Let us walk in the liberty wherewith you, God, you have made us free. Now, we will not keep quiet. We will not keep silent. No longer, Lord, because we understand that you have set us free. And we will walk in it. In the name of Jesus. Take a break now. We'll reassemble again. 5 minutes or so. For our morning worship, can you just tell somebody I was blood bought? Find about 5 people. Everybody you talk to, just remind them that you was blood bought.